based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Based on a True Scary. I am Trisha, as always, and I am here with my co-host, Jake. Happy New Year, Jake.
Happy New Year. Wow.
We're recording this on New Year's Day.
New Year, so new Jake.
We are not our best, but we do have someone here who is the best. He is a professional artist who also does capitalism. Welcome, Steve. Steve, Happy New Year. How are you doing?
Happy New Year. I am doing all right. It's good to be here.
Oh, well, we surely got you to kick it off with quite a film. A wonderful.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Steve. So, side story. Steve does an amazing Southern accent that, like, we will just jokingly do from time to time. So that's why I chose this film.
That makes sense.
For Steve to watch, because the movie, by the way, is An American Haunting. And I knew it was going to be, like, set in the South. So I'm like, oh, this will be a good one. And Steve, I apologize.
I always knew that my proximity to the South, my growing up there without really feeling like a Southern, I knew it was going to be a curse in some way
eventually.
At some point. And but I never would have predicted that it would be that it would make you think that I should watch this film.
Oh my god. So,
and yet here we are.
And here we are. So this movie, An American Haunting, came out in 2006. It was written and directed by Courtney Solomon, which at first I was like, oh no, a woman is responsible for this, but no, it is just a man with a chick name. It is a man named Courtney.
In the South, a man named Courtney is a fairly common thing.
Exactly.
Well, I will say your Southern accent is already better than their Southern accent.
That is true.
Trisha, you mentioned to me before I watched the film that this Southern accent thing came into play. And so I hate to say it, but watching the movie, I just kept waiting for more. I was like, there's no Foghorn Leghorn character. There's no Tom Hanks from The Lady Killers. I was like, where is it? Other than Drunk Priest, I wanted more Southern.
It's true.
I feel like the first, like, once they flash back, like, the Southern accent is strong, and then it just goes away.
Yeah, the actors just really lost it, but...
Yeah, they used it to establish the setting, and then just burned it right down, as fast as they could.
Audience gets it, we're fine.
Yeah, we're fine. We'll live.
So, Sir Courtney, he wrote and directed this. He, before this movie, did some movie about Dungeons and Dragons, and then after this, he basically quit directing to become a producer.
Did he do the Dungeons and Dragons movie with Marlon Wayans?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not a comedy. I think it's like supposedly like a serious Dungeons and Dragons movie that came out in the early 2000s. And then he made this, and then he quit and became a producer. I will say, he did direct one more movie in 2013. It was called Getaway with Ethan Hawke and Selena Gomez. I don't know if anybody saw that movie.
I've heard of that movie.
Okay,
I definitely did not see it, but now I definitely won't.
By the way, confirmed, he did the Dungeons & Dragons movie with Marlon Wayans.
Marlon Wayans is in it?
Yeah, but I don't think it's supposed to be comedy.
Oh, so it's not a comedy. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you've seen that movie?
No. Can't prove it.
Well, maybe he did one thing good. But yeah, I think this movie was kind of a career ruiner for him, although he was a producer after this. It is based on a novel called The Bell Witch, An American Haunting. It had a budget of $14 million, and it made $29.6 million. So people saw it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess during that time, like, there's a lot of these types of movies.
This was, it was ghosty during that time. Rotten Tomatoes, 14% critic.
She texted me a screenshot of the Rotten Tomatoes. I was dying.
Which, Steve, you said you, like, were looking up the movie and saw that, and then you politely did not say anything.
Yeah, well, this is an important lesson, I think. The power of expectations. I saw 14%. And so, honestly, watching the film, I thought it was going to be way worse than this. Like, 14% is, like, damningly low. It is a uniquely low score.
Wait a minute. You thought it was better than 14%?
I mean,
I'm just saying 14 is a pretty harsh grade. And I mean, we're going to talk about the movie and what we thought about it momentarily, but like 14%, like that, to me, it, at some level, it has to mean like you literally don't know how to make a movie. Maybe like maybe sometimes the cameras just don't work. And like broadly speaking, like I watched what I recognized as a movie. So yeah. I don't know. 14% is barely registering as a film.
I think that's
interesting. I never saw like reviews like Rotten Tomatoes viewed like that before. So that's interesting.
I think that's fair. Yeah. Well, because you know, audience gave it 36, Metacritic gave it 38. So yeah, I mean, like it was a movie. I think that's very generous of you, Steve.
It was a movie.
Rated PG-13, hour 33 minutes. Trailer says based on true events. The movie says the film is based on true events. So we're gonna go ahead and assume it is. And now let's talk about
the movie.
This movie.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Wow.
What this movie is, right? See if I can describe it, because it's kind of tough. I believe it is a movie about a girl in modern day who finds a journal in an attic.
Yep.
That then, in this journal, it recounts this telling of the haunting of the Bell family.
A journal and a doll.
And a doll.
Yeah, a doll.
Which
I don't fully understand. A really creepy doll.
Yeah. Yeah. I wrote in my notes, fucking doll.
Yeah.
As my our previous podcast, I am terrified of dolls.
Oh, yes. So, Jake, unfortunately, the doll, there was no scary affiliation with the doll, except the mom looks at the doll in the beginning and just says, "I know how you feel" to the doll.
Yes.
I didn't understand that.
Dirty, shattered doll.
Yep.
So, maybe the mom story would have been more interesting. I don't know.
Well, to be fair, she was drinking during the day, so maybe she did know how the doll felt. I don't know.
Do we get a vibe that the mom is a psychiatrist or a therapist by chance? Like that, like her home office vibe really felt like that. I'm not sure if it was just because of the way that her daughter came in to speak with her. I just like just the setup of the house itself. I felt like this woman is a therapist. Like I initially thought she was actually a therapist, like at her office.
I see what you're saying, but I just felt like this is just a classic movie.
I mean,
office.
Sure.
You know, like,
I don't know. Sure. We spend like 2 minutes with modern day woman, right? Like at the very beginning and end of the movie.
Yeah. So like, yeah. Maybe a total of like 1/18th of this film is the modern day storyline. And yet it's the framing device. Almost forgot that it's going on during the film.
Oh, completely.
And then we slip back into it at the end like, oh, right, this bullshit.
But I do love, Steve, how you decided to give a backstory to the character of Mom. Like, I think that's very... It's something that Courtney Shirley did not do.
I was looking for meaning.
Well, I'm assuming... did you feel the same experience we felt when she pulled out the letter? That it was super CGI?
Yeah.
There were some weird moments that, yeah, there were some strange, like effects for no reason. It was really bizarre.
I have, yeah, like throughout my notes, it's just like question mark unnecessary CGI. The wolf, like all of this stuff.
Oh, the wolf.
But ultimately, so like this movie is about a ghost or a haunting. And then at the end, we basically, it's revealed that the entire movie is bullshit.
Yeah. Like you just spent like 80 minutes telling us about this crazy ghost. And you're just kind of like, are we allowed to ruin the movie now?
Oh yeah, are you cool with us ruining the movie, Steve? We assume everybody's listened to this, and then we can talk about it.
It's really sweet that you ask me if you can ruin this 12-year-old movie on your podcast. Yes, as the arbiter of all movie spoiler decisions, I, your guest, allow it.
Okay. Jake, you want to deliver it.
You go for it.
We watch this family. And other townspeople visibly witness like a haunting where they're like abusing the daughter. We'll get into it. And like trying to kill the father. And then
before you ruin it, a throwback to an older episode, ghost rape.
There is a lot of what I assumed to be ghost rape happening in this movie. Turns out the dad is just molesting the daughter. So there isn't a ghost, but there is a ghost because people saw the ghost. But really, the dad has been molesting the daughter the whole time, and that is the movie. And then flashback to modern time.
And then...
And it turns out that the daughter in modern time is also being molested by the father. So this is a very upsetting
film.
There's
a family line of dads molesting, apparently.
What is this? Is this film made today? Is this just a typical man bashing?
It was ahead of its time.
Honestly, that was my take was, like, I want to give Donald Sutherland the Career Lifetime Achievement Award for, like, playing shitty white straight men. Because, like, he seems like a perfectly nice man. I assume he's a very nice man in real life. But all I can ever think about him is just being, like, a horrible, wealthy white bastard. And so I feel like he's been putting in work for years to let everyone know that you should not trust us. I say that as a straight white man myself. Don't trust us. We have been shitty for far too long. But Donald Sutherland's been trying to implement that, I think, throughout his career. So Godspeed to Donald Sutherland. Big fan.
Which I, you know, have to bring up, this movie is, I think we can all agree, it's pretty terrible. Cast is relatively good.
Yeah,
so
cast.
Yeah, Donald Sutherland plays, now we're in the past. From now on, we'll be talking about what's going on in the past. Donald Sutherland plays John Bell, who's the dad of this Bell family. Sissy Spacek is the mom. And then what, John Darcy is the teacher, the professor, creepy-ass professor.
Creepy-ass young Ebenezer Scrooge-looking professor.
Young Ebenezer Scrooge from
He's like
Muppet
from the Muppet
Christmas Carol.
Like, dead ringer. 100%. Dead ringer.
All right, so we have to talk about that scene where he's denying the fact that it happened. And he just kept saying that the slaves did it all. Because they...
He was... Up until the end of the movie where you find out Donald Sutherland is molesting his daughter, I was just like, creepy teacher, terrible person. But
let's talk about the fact that everyone saw this girl get raised up and slapped in the ghost face, this ghost rape face, whatever. And everyone's just like, it's not real.
Well, he made a really impressive argument, which was, if you didn't see someone holding her up, okay, but you saw her get slapped, yes, but you didn't see anyone slap her. Therefore, you also might not have seen the person who was holding her up. Like, I don't know how, like, he waved a crazy, like, logic pretzel that's just, like, fucking impossible to prove. But he managed to bamboozle them for long enough for me to say, this guy's got to be a red herring, right? Like, he was so shady and creepy that it's like, well, it can't be him, but... that the characters are then trying to implore him to marry this child.
God.
Like,
well, and
none of it tracked.
Yeah, he was clearly into her the whole time. So the haunting is like basically mostly affecting this young girl, right? And so he's her teacher and just being super creepy. And then in that scene when they come to him for help, my favorite part is how he's just kind of like, well, why don't I stay over at your house?
Right, yeah.
With your daughter, who I'm, like, obviously super into, and who he's 20 years older than her, right? They say that. 20 years older than her. I'm just going to stay over and I'll observe what goes down.
They were very cavalier about overnight guests at this very haunted house. Like, you guys remember, like, her best friend, the haunted girl's best friend, who, by the way, let's not even talk about the whole Joshua situation. What the fuck was that? But then, like, that friend who's macking on haunted girl's boyfriend is then invited over for a sleepover during this haunting. Like,
and her parents are fine with that.
Did that girl's parents know what was happening at the Bell House? They're terrible parents. She was trying to be sweet. I appreciated that the world bit. This is me trying to be positive about this 14% movie. I appreciated that in the world building that they had enough little things going on that, like, weren't even red herrings. They were just like, okay, there's some additional stuff going on that, like, oh yeah, like, your teenage romance thing is happening. But guess what ends up going to the side when either there's a ghost haunting your house or your dad's molesting you? Yeah, you probably think a lot less about Joshua. So I thought it set that up nicely to be like, oh, okay, there's this friend and there's this boyfriend. And oh, it turns out completely irrelevant to a much darker story.
No, we don't see Joshua again, I think, after the first 10 minutes of the movie, right? He's gone.
That was it.
Other than the brief makeout with her best friend.
With her best friend, yeah. And then just maybe like a couple times in the schoolyard when she's getting haunted, being like, oh, are you okay?
Just talking to her little ghost.
So on the technical side of it all, Cora brought up that she never is bruised.
Oh, do we not? Well, she's just wearing those, you know, those very matronly, old-fashioned clothes that are quite covering.
But literally never, like, there's no wrist bruises or anything.
Huh.
Yeah, that's why it's 14%.
It's missing those details that really gets into it.
Yeah. The plot, whatever. But the bruises.
It's the lack of bruising. To come back to how the film kind of leads you down a long, long path for maybe 85 minutes and then is like, nah, actually it was this other thing.
Oh my God.
That's what we were just talking about.
I keep coming back to all these little elements that I want to try to get some closure on. And if I don't know if Courtney can help us with that, but the man in the cloak that Donald Sutherland keeps seeing, like, I'm trying to remember, did anyone else ever see that cloaked character?
No, I don't think so.
I think Sissy Spacek saw him, but in an Inception dream sequence, like, well, three dreams deep, by the way, which is another just thing that happens in this movie. Dreamscapes.
Her weird, also, like, the ghost reveals, like, truth to her in some weird, like, synapse vision randomly all of a sudden. Yeah. So, like, which was, like, some weird sci-fi
I feel like this movie had a lot of, like, horror movie tropes that just they just, like, shoved in.
That made no sense.
That didn't work.
No.
Together.
No.
Right?
But the cloaked figure, you're right. So only Donald Sutherland sees the cloaked figure, which is why, you know, at first he's clearly pissed. The whole haunting stuff starts because he apparently stole land from this woman who's a witch, right? So he's like, the witch has sent her slaves after me and my family.
I have a note here that says, he stole my land, followed by, what the fuck am I watching?
Well, it's not even that he stole the land, he made like a really shady
deal.
This comes back to that white man stuff.
Exactly.
He goes above and beyond his, what I guess the church law, a thing I need to look up now.
Yep.
Church law.
Great.
But that I think like is to help establish, oh yeah, this guy, he breaks the rules.
Well, and
he's a very respected man in his community, but maybe he shouldn't be.
But maybe he has a dark side. And then also to kind of lend some sort of not ghosty sense to what's happening at first, which is when he's seeing the cloaked figure. Mm-hmm. And, but then he like, is so convinced that it's her sending people after them to attack his daughter. But then it's like next day they have their friend doing an exorcism in the house. So immediate ghost jump there. And then I think outside of that, Sissy Spacek does see the cloaked figure, but then it turns out that cloaked figure that she sees is Donald Sutherland raping his daughter.
Oh, God.
So and I don't know who the cloaked figure is on the roof.
Yeah. And was that even a real thing that she saw, or was that a vision that she had? There were definitely moments when I did not know what was going on in this movie.
I think she was supposed to have known but repressed it. That was what I got from it. Like, maybe she saw.
That sounds good to me.
Right? Sure.
Can we talk about, just not to jump ahead, but can we talk about what revealed the rape was the white sheet with the little...
The
blood
scene right in the... Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Visual.
Why is that so uncomfortable?
Because it's wildly uncomfortable. And
that would be one of the more effective things I think the movie did, because it still weirded me out.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll give you that. That was upsetting.
That was very upsetting.
But then it only leads to more questions, because originally this bag of clothes shows up that is supposedly given to the family.
Well, they have those flashbacks where they deal with the clothes.
But it's so the clothes were sent to them from this witch woman who the whole time John Bell is like, this is the woman who has like cursed my family. And now she put these clothes there. But then once the reveal happens, how did the witch woman have these bloody clothes, which turns out to be the bloody sheets from when the father was raping the daughter, and then like his bloody clothes, I guess, presumably from when he was raping his daughter. What, like, how does that make any sense?
Because what the fuck are we watching?
I don't know.
When the people came back, when the slaves came back with the bag of clothes, did they say something like that was at the land, like the disputed land at the heart of the conflict between Donald Sutherland and the witchy woman?
So
his dumb ass took the evidence
yep.
from his daughter rape, and he took it to land that is his, but it's not his. Like, yep. Like, he took it to the land where it's, like, the most disputed. It's the place where your biggest enemy has access. Like, I don't... That is, like, stunning incompetence for a villain to display.
Right. And then, okay, I guess that makes sense. So then the witch found... Well, you know, the woman who was supposedly a witch found it and was like, oh, he's clearly raping his daughter, which is why, I guess, she was like, you've cursed yourself. Later
right,
on.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when he throws it into the fire, they do the nice setup of having the, you know, like the slaves were like, oh, if you throw these in the fire, you will unleash the devil. But ultimately, when he does throw it in the fire, he's just trying to destroy evidence.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. It's just, this movie is a bag full of tricks. I
good
tell
old
you what.
Ghost slash dad rape, you know?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, God. I don't even know where to go from here.
I think we should just jump to the truth factor, because I want to know how much of this is true.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, yeah, is there anything else that I'm like looking through my notes here.
Well, I have notes here saying the worst $3.99 I've ever spent, because I bought an Apple TV. Then there was 15 more minutes of this. 37 minutes left. Kill me. 17 minutes left. Are we still here? So, no, there's nothing. Let's just move on.
Well, let's not. I mean, I can't forget about the wolf.
Oh,
right. So again, to come back to like the spirit and what it ends, or the entity and what it ends up not being, the entity chasing, we got an 1818 like car chase in this horror
the
film.
Shot.
Like that was the most action-packed moment I've ever seen in like a Paranormal Activity
and
type film.
Yeah,
like
that was
awesome. A goddamn carriage chase.
Yeah,
no, that
it
was...
did a full fucking flip.
Full flip.
So the thing I'm most confused by is like we get to the end of the film and we understand like what the actual entity was. That like I revisit this carriage chase that honestly highlight of the film for me.
Oh.
So good. So good.
And then the point of view from the theoretical ghost looking around the house, or this energy, like it's just such a big question for me, which is, does what dad did to his daughter create this supernatural energy in that? Because like we're dealing with her ghost.
Right.
Got it. We're dealing with a wolf outside. Okay. Maybe That's a thing too. But we're also dealing with like we were literally watching these humans in the house. Like they can sometimes feel the energy and the presence of this thing. And the girl, like it's not just that like, oh, the girl's body is going through like, I don't know, like aftershocks or tremor effects from past trauma. But like they're also feeling this energy moving around the room sometimes. Like
right.
We're watching them. And then it breaks everything and it gets out of the house. And it fucking chases down the carriage, and it knocks down a tree, and then the carriage does a flip. Like,
which
what the fuck?
And I will say, I agree. Like that shot alone earns the 14%. It was a pretty
yes.
cool sequence.
Yeah.
But it's we get that ghost POV, which I have in my notes throughout mm-hmm. the film,
Good
where
movie.
You're literally watching townspeople, other family members, like react to some sort of energy or entity or spirit or whatnot.
Yeah.
But so there has to be a ghost, but the ghost is just the girl's rage, I guess. Her loss of innocence,
no,
right?
I think it's all just bullshit. And it just comes down to Donald being a fucking rapist. Like,
But how does it flip? So he's just...
How does it flip? How does it knock a tree down?
You want to know why? This is just a bad movie.
It's a bad movie. Like,
that might be it. Yeah.
And that...
What
I do love is that the whole reason for the carriage chase is because the teacher, creepy professor, right? And then Daddy Donald are like, oh, I think that the ghost can only get us if we're in the house. So let's move Betsy, right? They like hatch this plan to move the daughter Betsy out of the house.
Under cloak of darkness, where it's like, all right, we're gonna sneak out past our ghost.
Exactly.
Which like, how are they? What the fuck?
And
like,
they don't
it's
say
a
where they're taking her. Whatever. All right.
Got a pretty sweet carriage flip out of it.
Yeah,
it's worth
yeah.
it.
It was a really good scene. Like, that was crazy.
It was worth it for that, yeah.
Yeah.
Me and Cora were just like, what? Like, just how?
Did we ever see... So the brother gets attacked by the wolf and, you know...
Yeah, the in wolf. The beginning.
But, like, do we ever see the brother again after the carriage flip and the wolf gets after him?
The kids, so there's, like, a couple kids, right? There's an older brother. There's, I think, two younger kids. So there's, like, and then the older brother does also see the ghost wolf in the beginning. And there is a nice little, like, anti-gun PSA when he shoots a hole in the window. And then Sissy Spacek's like, you could have killed us. I'm like, wow, this is the South. It's very progressive.
Yeah.
Now, so my friend who I watched it with, she was like, what do you think that meant when he shot in the house? And, I'm going to go beyond, it's just a bad movie. Here's, I'm gonna posit this theory. What if he shot inside the house, not knowing it, but he was saying the danger really comes from within.
Oh,
it's just a bad movie.
That's what I've been saying.
Well, the bad movie ultimately comes to an end because after Mom, Sissy Spacek, and Betsy realize that Donald Sutherland, Daddy Donald, is the one who's doing all of the molesting, Betsy just poisons him to death while Sissy Spacek watches. And kind of nods her head like, yes, like, good girl, you've murdered Daddy. And then it says that the hauntings stop, obviously, because they've killed Dad or poisoned Dad. And then we do know that she married Creepy Teacher. They end up getting together because you see the photo of her and him. So, like, she does get married to Creepy Professor, right?
And he's the narrator, right? He's the one who wrote the journal, the letter that does the framing device that is, like, a blip on the radar of this whole movie. Yeah.
Correct. Yes. So then ultimately, the whole movie is coming from the view of Creepy Professor.
Oh, God.
And then we get Creepy Ghost Betsy telling modern day Mom that her daughter's getting molested by her dad, which it doesn't end. Like, it ends with the mom running after the car. So it's this extremely grim ending of, like, oh, wow, child molesting is still happening. And then the creepy credits.
Yeah. The font and everything about this movie, like, was just very...
It made no sense.
Okay. Well, okay. I feel like we should jump to...
Let's...
True or false.
Hey, guys. It's Trisha here. Just want to remind you to please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. Also, please be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Based on a True Scary and on Twitter at Based on a Scary. Plus, if you guys have a movie you want us to fact check, or if you just want to tell us how much you love us, how much you hate us, or have any feedback in general, send us a message on our social channels or just send an email to basedonatruescary@gmail.com. We always want to hear from you guys and gals. So, let us know what you think. Thanks so much. And, okay, back to the show.
Okay, so Jake, along with you, Steve, does not know the truth for this one.
Yeah, this is the second time.
This is, we're trying out a new format.
Yeah, first time I was just lazy and didn't research anything.
Oh, are we going head-to-head here? Is that what it is?
This time we're going head-to-head. We're going to try to embrace the fact that I'm an idiot. So,
right.
Yeah.
We're using his, we're working with what we've got, essentially.
That's all we can do.
So you guys can discuss your thoughts, but ultimately, I'm going to start easy and broad with you guys here.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, again, I'm working with what I've got. Do you think that there is a legend of a Bell Witch?
Stevie, go first.
I to the point that I feel like when I was watching this movie, I thought, have I seen another movie that deals with a Bell Witch? Like, it, like, the term itself sounded familiar. So I think I have to go with a yes on that one.
Well, so I actually looked up the synopsis of this film, and in Wikipedia there was a underline saying there's a link to the Bell Witch. So yes, there is.
Wow. Cheating.
So he already cheated on the first question.
Yep.
Well, yes, it is in fact true. So the movie is based, I say the word based, oh my God, on a Southern folklore legend of the Bell Witch. So the legend states that from 1817 to 1821, so they got the date right, which is honestly a rarity in a lot of these cases, so I'll give them that. In Adams, Tennessee, there was a family known as the Bell family. So Father John, Mother Lucy, got the names right. And their 9 children... So not Jesus. 4, like in
well,
the
you gotta have to cast a lot of minors. Just, I mean, we'll you know, you consolidate the kids. Yeah. I can't fault them for that.
We'll give it to them. Okay, see, you're so sweet, Steve. So the Bell family came under attack by a mostly invisible entity that was able to speak, affect the environment, and even shapeshift. Some accounts even said that the spirit was clairvoyant and it was able to be in multiple places.
Wait, why wouldn't you make a movie about that?
Oh, you guys have no idea what you're about to encounter.
Okay. I'll shut up.
This could have been a much better film. That's all I'm getting so far. Yes, let's find out more.
Oh my gosh. So yes, ultimately, yeah, there we go. So, all right, moving on. The whole film is sort of told under, you know, the narrator is Richard Powell, right? The creepy teacher, because there was a diary that was found. And so he's the narrator of the story. Do you guys think that there was a found diary of a Richard Powell that retells this haunting?
Every part of me says no, but I want to say yes.
The diary part. We're not asking if we think that a creepy teacher a girl 20 years his junior. It's just that was there a written record? I'm going to go with no as well.
You
went with everything and you wants not to. Okay, cool. Then so, I'll take the counterpoint and say false. No, no record.
All right. So Stevie gets the point.
God damn it.
Stevie boy gets the point.
It's bullshit.
So here is where shit gets really complicated and why my New Year's Day was a little bit stressful. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, the movie is based on a novel, The Bell Witch and American Haunting, which is a retelling of the legend that is based on a newly found diary of Richard Powell. This book is completely made up and completely fictionalized.
Oh, wow.
As confirmed by the author, Brent Monahan. So there is a legend of the Bell Witch. A fictional book came out sort of retelling the legend.
This is like fan fiction.
Wait, Richard Powell is a fictional character. Okay, all right.
We will get there. But ultimately, this book that came out claimed that a diary of somebody who was there, potentially,
is
now telling this story, and it's a new document that was found, right?
I'm going back to fan fiction.
That book is false. Yes.
It's all fan
basically
fiction.
Fan fiction. Yeah. So there is no diary. Nobody
I don't like
has
this whole me not researching before because I'm upset right now. I am not happy.
You were audibly going through the emotions that I did earlier today. Okay. So this, yes. And thus the complications continue. Okay. So in the beginning of the old portion of the film, John Bell gets in, you know, big church trouble because he breaks church law and ultimately did some shady business with that woman, Kate Batts, who's supposedly a witch. And that's sort of the impetus for the hauntings, right? Do we think that situation is also what caused the real Bell hauntings?
God. You go first, Steve.
So here's where the idea that something called church law exists. So it happens in a southern town in the early 1800s. So yeah, they'd probably have some shit called church law. And they'd have a church hearing. But also, like, it sounds like such a device of a bad movie that I want there to not have been church law. That's what I want, is for that not to be real. But I'm going to go ahead and say I think that there was a legal dispute between John Bell and some mystery woman. Sure.
Okay.
I agree. Yeah.
Gentlemen, it is fucking false.
What?
Fucking false.
God damn it.
God
so
damn it.
Get this.
Okay.
Your guys' minds are going to be blown. Okay. While it is stated that John Bell may have had some shady business dealings at some point, right? He did not steal land from a supposed witch, but actually the entity itself was thought to be the ghost of a dead witch known as Kate Batts. In fact, they would call the entity Kate and said that it would respond fondly to that name. So they then, you know, started to put the pieces together that, okay, this is the ghost of a dead townswoman who had been known to be a witch. So the Kate in the movie that is like sort of the villain in the actual folklore is essentially a dead woman who they believe is now haunting the family.
With no clear beef with the family.
No.
Just was a witch.
No clear beef with the family. Yes, it is. There are theories, but nothing really has been nailed out in that realm.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, indeed. Okay, so this ghost in the film is really only attacking John and Betsy. That's kind of like the main the people that it's going after. Do you think that in real life, the Bell Witch was mostly focused on John and Betsy Bell?
I say this. I think this ghost went after everybody.
Yeah.
I think that it was a all comers kind of ghost.
I'm Team Steve here. Yeah.
You guys are wrong.
What so, the
damn it?
It makes no sense. Okay, so
this is so upsetting.
It is pretty. It's pretty true, but the movie gets so many things wrong. So similar to the movie, yes, everyone in the house and the townspeople did experience the entity Kate that they called Kate, right? But it really did mostly focus on John and Betsy. So John experienced paralysis of the mouth, and the ghost would threaten him and say that she was cursing him and that she intended to kill him. So, like, she was very vocal, I guess, and made it known to everybody that she, like, really wanted to kill John. She didn't say that about anybody else. But then for Betsy, so the ghost would pull the sheets off of all the kids' beds and would pull all of their hair and scratch them. Like, it was being a bit of a menace. But then Betsy got, like, the brunt of it. So she was beaten until she was bruised, actual bruises.
Oh, she was
apparently
bruised.
Yes. Was pinched and then stuck with pins. She would wake up and there would be, like, pins stuck in her. So it was really only violent with Betsy and John. But then outside of that, the ghost was mostly just, like, a little trickster. So it would speak to people in the house and it would do things like tell people to search for treasure that didn't exist. It's
functioning like as like a mischievous little leprechaun to the children, but it's also very vocally saying, and I also want to kill your dad.
Correct.
Separately, I'm going to murder John Bell.
Yep.
But all of you guys, I'm just going to do some like harmless pranks.
Oh, yeah. It gets so.
What a fucking weird ghost.
It's insane. It would apparently it was reported that like it would recite sermons to people like to the
Christ.
Word.
Wow.
It was very interested into engaging in religious arguments with people. Like, people far and wide heard about this ghost, and they were like, we got to come over and see it and, like, speak to it. And it would also...
Wait, multiple people came and talked to the ghost?
Oh, this ghost was, like, renowned in the time period, apparently. So, and it would also gossip about other townspeople to the Bell family. It would know all of these weird secrets. But also, sometimes it was apparently nice. It was very nice to the mom, Lucy. It would apparently bring her fruit and sing hymns to her.
What?
So, yeah, it was like...
Meanwhile, she's
functioned,
fucking... Yeah.
But then it's also... So it would be like, ha-ha, fun times. Oh, by the way, I'm going to murder your husband.
Yeah. Going to murder your husband. Yeah. But here's a fruit basket.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
And you hear what Judy did?
Exactly. Yeah.
You
hear... Did you see this? Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
So that was all Kate. Do we think that that the ghost would rape Betsy though?
Well, no, because the dad did.
I mean, is that going to be a question later?
That will be a question later. Yes.
Right.
Okay, which I'm dreading that. Oh God, I don't know what I don't know anymore. I guess I never knew about this movie. Can you repeat the question,
basically
Trisha?
Just so I detailed, you know, like
did,
what it would do.
Did the ghost...
Do you think the ghost, like, also raped her? I just wanted that maybe
I'm
a separate question.
I'm thinking the dad did do it, so I'm saying no, the ghost did that.
Stevie boy?
Or was... What did we think the ghost... Like, was the ghost reported to
sure,
have done
sure.
Okay, right. I'm going to say yes, that they think...
Yeah, I mean, we're both going to say yes and we're both going to be wrong. Let's do it.
Yeah, you're both wrong. So
let's lock it in and be wrong together.
So yeah. Here's
Steve.
Oh, yeah.
We start our own podcast.
Y'all don't need me. No.
The wrongest man in the world.
I'd listen. So, yeah, no reportings of any sexual assault by the ghost Kate. The only thing I could find that, like, was kind of from the movie in that vein was that when you would ask the spirit, like, who are you and what do you want? The spirit did apparently say, I am a spirit. I was once very happy, but I have been disturbed. Which they, like, use that line in the movie.
They alluded to that, yeah.
Right. But they made it about a child being molested when ultimately I think in the lore the ghost was just kind of... being a little sassy.
I respect
ghost.
That you keep saying molested.
Is that
when in real life that poor kid was raped?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to try not to.
Well, we don't
know
yet in real life.
Well, that's very true. Yeah. Okay. Very true. Okay, well let's talk about the wolf. Let's slightly
Oh,
yeah. Later.
Let's
okay.
talk about the wolf. Yeah,
Let's talk about the wolf. Deal with that. Yeah, there's some wolfy shit going down in the movie. Do you guys think that in the real Haunting there was any sort of like wolf apparitions?
Steve, take this one.
All I'm doing now is running counter to my instinct. My instinct is, no, of course there wasn't a wolf. This is clearly a thing that they made up for the movie. So I'm going to answer, yeah, why not? There was a wolf, sure.
I'm going to say no wolf.
There was a wolf.
God damn it!
You're goddamn right.
Steve, you're so right. Jesus.
So.
I've cracked the code. I have to go completely against what makes any sense at all.
You can't see me, but like, I don't have any hair left because I pulled it all out doing this research. So.
Wait, to clarify, she still has hair.
I do, and it's fucking fabulous. Okay, so yes, wolf. The hauntings apparently actually all started when John Bell kept seeing an apparition of a strange dog that he described as a like half dog, half rabbit creature. So I guess kind of wolfish. He would fire at the dog with his gun. It would disappear. The family also claimed that they would hear dog growling all throughout the house. And then they would hear the sounds of like dogs gnawing on beds, invisible dogs fighting, and like dogs running with chains on the floor. So there was some weird dog element to...
I'm filing all of that information about weird dog sounds and whimpers and chains. I'm filing that away to help with my answer later about if Dad actually molested his dog.
I like that you're, you know, you've got a plan.
I'm already so in the hole. I don't know.
Have you guys gotten any... Some of you have gotten some right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've gotten none.
One or two, maybe.
You're fine.
I think I got the first one right. I think we got the first one right. And then yes. he got smart. And then anyways.
Guys, I just want to let you know that I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
This is a real challenge.
Let's keep it rolling.
Logic has nothing to do with this, so don't feel bad. Okay, so in the film, there's like the weird scene where they have their friend come over to, you know, help them figure out what's going on with the hauntings, and they do like a weird exorcism, and then that friend just kind of stays with them for the rest of the movie. Do you think that they enlisted a friend to help them figure out what the fuck was going on with this ghost and perform an exorcism?
Wow.
I think that's got to be a yes, right? You got to like, you're not just going to like tank this yourself. You're not going to not seek counsel. I thought it was weird because I thought this guy had this like priestly vibe. He was very religious, but like they never called him father. They never like who he was seemed very unclear to me.
I'm pulling a Steve. I'm going to say no.
You're going to go counter. I'm going to stick with yes, that they would have asked for help, and I'm going to be very upset in a few seconds.
I love when there's a divide. So point Steve. It's
God
true.
God fucking damn it. I hate this. I'm doing research from now on. I don't give a shit. I don't like losing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have just inspired Jake to read.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Bell family turned to their real... This guy in the movie's name is James Johnson. In real life, they turned to their friend James Johnson to help them figure out what the fuck was going on with the ghost. Unlike the movie, I don't believe there was any sort of exorcism that was, you know, like you're right, Steve. He like wasn't a priest. He was just a friend of theirs. But in real life, James was like, okay, let's see if this is really a ghost or not. So he devises this plan to quote unquote test whether or not the witch's spirit is real or like everyone's just crazy, apparently. So he would ask it things that the Bell family wouldn't know, because I guess they were like, oh, maybe it's some sort of trickery, right? So he would ask it things like questions about his family members that the Bell family had no idea about. The ghost would apparently respond with all of the correct answers all of the time, including fortuitous events that happened like in the future that ended up coming true. Yeah, right. Yeah, so she knew what's up. And then she would even imitate the voices of his family members during the test. So ultimately he was like, oh yeah, dude, we've got a real witch ghost here.
That's bizarre.
Yep. Yeah. Again, would have been much more of an interesting movie to see all of this go down.
I keep coming back to that. This very powerful ghost
right.
makes an interesting story for
right.
sure.
Right, and that's, yeah, because it's like clairvoyant, right? So it's able to like see things in the future, and it was able to sort of read people's minds, and yeah.
Yeah, and you're like having to like give the ghost riddles. And by the way, it also asks you riddles. Like this, like it's what a weird combative but also playful relationship with a ghost mostly. Yep. I don't know. It's... I'm intrigued by the real, or maybe real story of this.
Yeah, it was a lot of pull and tug. A lot of pull and tug. Okay, so let's talk about creepy teacher. So we know that there's no scripture from this person, but do we think that there was a creepy teacher who later married Betsy?
Ooh. I mean, the odds on that have got to be pretty strong.
I'm going to say no.
Jake's got no.
So if no teacher ever marries this girl, then I would be... I'm going to go with no as well.
Oh, God, it's true, you guys.
God.
Oh, God damn
but,
it.
Okay.
We are not.
Richard
the movie,
Powell.
It's true, but the movie, again, just gets it so wrong. So,
right. Okay.
Betsy was, in fact, interested in a young boy named Joshua Gardner, who is the boy in the movie, right? So they get engaged at their young age. And apparently the ghost hated this and would constantly like tell Betsy, do not marry Joshua. It was like a big thing that the ghost was not happy with. At the same time, they were in school with a creepy teacher named Richard Powell, who was actually 11 years older than her, not 20. So the movie made it creepier for seemingly no reason.
Wait. They decided to make the age gap
bigger,
worse.
Yeah.
They made a lot of decisions, you guys. Yes, this gentleman, Richard Powell, was like vocally interested in marrying Betsy once she got older. Like he would talk about it. He's like, well, once she gets older, I want to marry her. And he was very pissed that she was engaged to Joshua. And then apparently on the side, this dude was also into witchcraft. So like are some theories that maybe he was influencing this ghost to tell Betsy not to marry Joshua. Who knows? That's a side thing. But eventually, the ghost would torture Betsy and Joshua when they were together. And so they finally were like, we can't take this anymore. We're breaking up. 3 years later, Betsy married Richard Powell. But he was never there for the hauntings. So all of that was false. Like, ultimately, she just had a creepy-ass teacher that she did end up marrying. But was not this figure in the movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
So true love really doesn't win out in the end.
It's
this poor girl.
Yeah, Betsy did not have a great time. No, this one's not really fun. Well, actually, no, this one is kind of fun. Let's talk about the carriage crash. Do we think that this weird ass carriage crash
has
in
to
the
happen?
Film,
give me this.
Did a carriage
this.
Crash with Betsy in it at some point?
Yes, I'm saying yes.
Okay, Jake says yes. Steve.
This is another one of those where I feel like it's such an invention for the film to give it something exciting to do. Except most horror films seem quite content not to do that. Paranormal Activity type films are just like, nah, nothing's going to happen. And that's where all the creepiness lies. So I'm going to say, yeah, there must have been some form of carriage crash. Yes.
Okay. So this is false as told in the movie. However, I did find a story that I think they based it on. So ultimately it's false. Y'all are wrong. But, okay, so they never tried to
get... You waited just long enough to build...
So what you're telling us is that at some point in the 1800s, there was a carriage crash. But it has nothing to do with the story.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Listen, so...
Do we even need to hear this?
No, you do. You do, because it's interesting. So, they never tried to get Betsy out of the house. There was never a carriage that crashed because Betsy was in it, right? But the three eldest Bell sons fought under General Andrew Jackson in the Battle of New Orleans. He heard about all of this haunting shit and was like, I gotta go visit the Bell family, check on my boys, and like see what all this hoopla is about. As he entered the Bell property, his wagon stopped suddenly and his horses like couldn't pull it. And it was this huge commotion. They were able to get it moving. He went to the house and he experienced some of the hauntings himself. But otherwise, it was totally fake. But that was like a piece of information in the lore. So the director had to be like, well, I'm making up most of this shit anyways. Let's just put it in there and make it a weird crash.
But so they're saying that like there was precedent for this energy, this ghost, this spirit, for being able to affect
a character.
And so in that way, like where all the stuff that we're hearing about the real ghost with all of her crazy powers.
Right.
Again, like that all could justify the stuff that happens in the film if the twist ending doesn't invalidate
it. I'm so goddamn angry about this right now.
I mean, as you should be. It is infuriating. Jake is like so mad. I think he wants to quit.
Yeah, I'm done with this podcast.
Well, this is the kicker, guys. Was John Bell molesting Betsy?
Ooh. This is the big question. You start first on this one.
Oh, okay. I got to talk through this just a little bit because I feel like, I mean, it's you know, movies made 200 years after the actual events. It would be real fucked up, though, to be like, hey, I found this interesting story from the past where a guy totally doesn't rape his daughter and there's this interesting ghost. And then what you do is you'd make it where there's not an interesting ghost and that guy rapes his daughter. Like, what a fucked up decision that would be to, like, smear a family's name. Oh, that's what they did. That's what they fucking did. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say no. John Bell didn't do it.
Jake?
I'm going to say he did.
He did not.
God damn it.
What the fuck? So, I'm even mad. I got it right, and I still think that is insane. That is insane.
So now we know. This is why I've been so pissed all day. Here's what fucking happened.
Okay.
There is nothing about molestation in The Legend of the Bell Witch. Here's what happened. The book that came out in the early 2000s, which was a fictional retelling that apparently was like that this scripture was found, right, to talk about the Bell Witch. That book did all of this molesting shit. It added all of this weird molesting shit in as though like giving, I guess, like a reason for the haunting. But that is not part of the actual legend. So what this movie did is take this fake book and this like folklore legend and like piece it together in a way that ultimately makes absolutely no sense.
Wow. I'm upset. I'm not gonna lie.
Ain't that some shit.
Yep.
Ain't that some shit. So this, the next two questions will maybe be more obvious now. Do you think that Betsy poisoned her dad, John?
No.
It's a big no for me.
Yeah, no, why would he?
Yeah.
So.
Why? Yeah.
Right. Because there was no rape. So what actually happened, this is kind of fun though. Well, it's not fun. It's just interesting. So John grew sick with a mysterious illness that everybody attributed to the ghost Kate, who was cursing him and, you know, going around being like, I'm going to kill John. So he does get poisoned. He's found dead and there's a bottle of poison found near him. Everybody just assumes that the ghost has killed him. To this day, he's the only person whose death is officially stated as being caused by a ghost. FYI. So then,
like, ever in any recorded
correct.
History. Like, he actually, it, like, that is, like, on his death certificate.
According to the lore, poisoned by a ghost. Yes.
Holy yeah. shit.
So then, years later, a gentleman by the name of Sir Charles Bell, unrelated to John Bell or the Bell family.
Bell was a common name, I think.
Yeah, that's valid.
Sure.
He's an anatomy professor, and he discovers a neurological disorder that includes symptoms exactly like those that John Bell was suffering from and names it Bell's palsy.
No!
Shit.
Way.
Wow.
Name.
Again, a much better twist ending
right?
to this movie than what we received.
Oh, yeah. Purely coincidental, again, with the name. But so, apparently, like, or is it spookiness? So, yeah, he was possibly poisoned. People thought it was a ghost, but he probably just died of Bell's palsy and the stress of thinking that a ghost was going to murder him.
Wow. Yeah, it makes sense because you, like, half your face is frozen. Like,
yep.
Wow.
Yep.
I wasn't ready for that.
That's a really great twist ending.
Yeah.
That would have been a much better movie. But so we do.
Yeah.
Do we think that the haunting stopped after John died then?
Dude, I don't know anymore. I just give up. I'm over this.
So, okay. Steve, do you care?
I so don't care.
Yeah. I'm so upset. It's just...
Well, we could. I'll just, if anybody listening cares. So they basically did. According to the legend, once John died, the hauntings pretty much stopped because everybody was kind of like, I guess this ghost has carried out its will to kill John and to get Betsy to not marry Joshua.
And to deliver some occasional produce
exactly.
to the Bell House.
Well, she did. What? Apparently, the ghost visited Lucy a couple years later and said that she would come back in 7 years, which she did in 7 years. And then I guess the ghost was like, I'm going to keep visiting Bell family members. But I mean, most of them are dead now, so we don't know. But there is a cave on the old Bell property called the Bellwitch Cave. It is believed to be where the ghost resides. And you can tour it in the summer months and in October if you want to.
Wow.
And that is the tale of the Bell Witch, you guys. How are you feeling?
I'm not happy right now. I'll just state that.
I'm so glad that I have this off of my chest now. And
yeah.
we can all agree that
I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't research because I would not be a part of this podcast right now, and I'm one half of the podcast.
I am personally flabbergasted by all of these strange revelations that have come out here today about the Bell Ghost.
I do declare.
And my friend Donald Sutherland, who did not rape his daughter. Like, there's just such a, there's so many different ways to tell this story based on all this information. And it's just like, it's like, I'm confounded that this is the version wound up being it. Like, it didn't look like it was, I don't want to be mean to Courtney. I definitely don't want anyone out there with, ill will towards me. And so, but like, it didn't look like this was like a rewritten by committee situation. It was like written and directed by one person. Yeah. So it's really stunning that like of all of the information that you could cherry pick, that this is the structure and these are the facts that we went by.
I mean, it's just absolutely baffling to me that this movie exists. But what I got to say is that our podcast is really clearing Donald Sutherland's name. Like, this is, we are in hard search of the truth.
Yeah, right.
And
right.
We are doing.
Yeah, he did not rape that actor. Actress.
No.
Yeah.
So let's.
Truth claim?
Yeah, let's move on to ratings here. So, okay, Steve, we like to give a rating 0 through 10 out of 10 on how well you think the movie.
We usually name it after something, but I'm so upset I can't.
I mean, how about just Bell Witches?
Yeah.
It's 0 out of 10.
Bells. Yeah.
How accurate do you think this movie portrayed the actual story of the Bell Witch?
At this point, less than 14% accurately. This is not an accurate. I mean, can I'm going with 0 Bell Witches?
I'm saying -14.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give it a 1.5 in the sense that it got all of the character names right.
1.5?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, if I thought that 14% for Rotten Tomatoes meant like, well, there was film in the camera. Right. Then yeah, I guess I have to concede, like, they had the names of real people, that 1817 is when this stuff started, but, like, barely a half of a point.
Yeah. You say half. All right.
I'll say half.
We'll say half. Three, yeah. I'll change. I'll say we can all agree on a 0.5 here. I mean, ultimately, it lies so much that it almost undoes the part.
And that is my point. It's like, this is a movie that you're just like, what? Why wouldn't you just make a movie about the true situation?
It's because somewhere long ago I was cursed to have to talk about this film. Because otherwise, like, because if they didn't say this was based on a true story, then it would not meet the criteria for being on this podcast to be discussed.
Right.
And so right now I think that's the only way I can drive
this. I never would have seen
is
it. That
this movie is Steve's curse.
Yep, Steve's curse.
You are cursed. Is your last name Bell secretly? Is it not Smith? Are you
descended? It's not Smith after all. What if
your last name is Smith, it could have been Bell at the same time.
Yeah, right. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My family used to make bells back in the day. We were the bellsmiths.
That's how they named people. Mine made Marie's. Just kidding. I'm not telling you my real last name. Okay. So, guys, thank you for... Steve, thank you for... I'm so sorry. Thank you for dealing with this.
I mean, honestly, I don't want to say it was my pleasure because that's pushing the definition of the word pleasure. No, I had a really great time. I did not enjoy this film explicitly or at all, really. It did not scare me, and I was looking forward to maybe being little scared.
It's not scary.
I don't even know.
At all.
It wasn't even a horror film.
It's really
right.
Not.
Right.
Again, we've done this multiple times where movies are trick you into being horror films, and they're not horror films.
It's just not actually a horror film. But I did enjoy getting to break it down with you guys. I really appreciate the invitation to be on here. So thank you, man. Thanks for having me
on. Thank you.
To fulfill my curse, and finally now I can
die.
You are
set free.
Or my ghost can leave me, perhaps.
Yeah. Is there anything that you want to promote before you croak in the next couple minutes?
No, I got nothing, in fact. I only want to promote continuing to listen to this podcast and other new upstart podcasts. Because I think there's a lot of really interesting voices and a lot of smart people that are getting some new types of content out there. So just keep listening to stuff like this.
Steve, that was so nice. I'm going to cry.
We're for clapped. That was so sweet. sweet. Yes, thank you. But yes, thank you for listening to this, you guys. Be sure to like us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
And eventually when I do Twitter.
And yeah, yeah, when we do that at Based on a True Scary. And keep listening. And thanks again, Steve. Yeah, we'll be back soon.
Later.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.